Thank you, Nathan. Okay, so I'm just quickly. Buenos dias y Dios te bendiga una iglesia Perth. Yeah, I've learned Spanish just by 1 week in Argentina, just like that. Now, it's amazing what Google Translate can do. That means, good morning and God bless you, One Church Perth. Did anyone understand what I just said there? Anybody? You need to come with me on the next trip I do because it's very slow using Google Translate. Anyway, so this morning we're going to be giving you a report on the work of One Church Network, which is our missions arm of the church. One Church Network, we send out missionaries, we send out teams, we oversee churches, we work with other partner churches, and we are all about building up the church to be able to do what God has called each individual church to be and to do in their region. The part of this conference this weekend is to help the church here in Perth to be the move of God that God has prophesied for hundreds of years that we would be. Since 1606 all the way through to 2018, God has been speaking that we are a move of God that He wants to launch from this part of the world to cover all the nations. So that's what we do as One Church Network. And we were in Dallas, y'all. We went to Dallas, y'all, and we had massive portions of food, but we also had an incredible outbreak of the Holy Spirit. And then we were in Argentina in two cities, Buenos Aires and Tucumán. Are you ready? Are you strapped in to be inspired about what it means to be an apostolic missionary who's sent by God to all the nations on the earth? Wonderful. Okay, well then, put your hands together. Let's welcome Adrian, who's going to share a little bit about the Dallas leg of the journey.
Thank you. Well, if you're all wondering where Dallas is, he's down yonder. We learned that one as well. It's either y'all or he's down yonder. About the only things we did learn, but there we go. Okay, put my glasses on, otherwise I'm not going to be able to read what I spoke. Sorry. You might as well. Okay, so going to Dallas, wasn't too sure quite what to expect, actually. I thought, really, what could we offer a Western world country that they don't already have? You know, Dallas, America, Texas, JR, all the oil and everything else. What are we going to be able to share? I must admit that we were greeted a very big welcome to Dallas. Driving away from the airport, there was police cars and sirens going everywhere, and we were told that three police had been gunned down in a parking lot of the local hardware store just the day before, and they were chasing them up. And I thought, well, that's a big welcome. Being driven the following day to the church, the area's dramatically changed. And you could see as you were driving along that you were just moving from one socio-economic area into a next lower one, and then into a next lower one. And eventually arriving at the church, the gathering church there, it was in the heart of an area which you probably can only be described as a ghetto. It was one of their areas which was pretty low in its socio-economic state. It was sort of starting to worry me getting out the car. Getting out of there was a heaviness all around. Everywhere you sort of just felt this heaviness outside of the church building. Moving into the building was a little bit lighter, but most of the people there were either Mexican or Latinos. And to be quite honest, there was that many of them that I thought we'd actually driven over the border and we'd ended up in Mexico, to be quite honest. Most looked like they were from gangs. There were big guys who were covered in tats all over. They had all their gang colours all written on them and over them, and including the women as well. They were all marked up, the whole lot of them. And through thought, as if we sort of say anything wrong, we're actually going to disappear ourselves. So, but they greeted us so warmly, it was almost like walking into a family. They really did love on us. And they offered us coffee and food, and they even had a breakfast menu actually standing on a chalkboard when we walked in the church. And I thought, now that's something we could adopt over here. You know, breakfast tacos sounds great. And that's what they fed us. So it went well. Didn't offer us any tequila, so that was a good thing. But we were welcome. That was the main thing. Even trying to serve myself, I was kind of chastised and told, no, you're our guests and we are here to serve you. That was a very humbling experience, I can tell you. It was one of those moments, you know. On a Friday night there, Pastor Paul delivered his message and the whole church came forward. Nothing new there. What was an hour and a half session turned into a four-hour session. So we just continued praying up into the wee hours of the night. Can I have some? Oh, okay. Fair enough. He's praying. He's speaking. So at the end of that night, there was much prayer and prophetic words from many. The word I got for one guy there in praying for him, he was a big guy full of tats, and I just said that I sense the Lord's going to tell you you're going to start a music business. Not for him, but that it would bring finances into the church. And after praying that over him and talking to him a bit later on, it turned out that he'd been caught running drugs across the border a few years previously. And he just served 5 years in San Antonio prison. And whilst he was in jail, they used to have a visiting chaplain come in. And he got led to the Lord by that chaplain whilst he was there, which was fantastic. But after a little while, the chaplain stopped visiting, and they were told that, no, he wasn't well, he was sick, and he couldn't come. So this guy decided that, well, we can do this. So for the last 3 years of his time in prison, he started sharing his time, sharing the Lord with the other inmates and bringing many of them to the Lord as well. So, yeah, these guys are totally out there, I tell you. When he got back home, actually, when he got out of prison, he said that his family, he got back there, and all he wanted to do was to get money and give it to the church. Legally, of course, by now. He'd come that way. So he started a panel shop. That was doing so well, and the Lord blessed him in that, so because of his heart. And he gave that to his son to run, and he went and started another business. And then he started another business. And then he wanted to do yet a fourth one. And all of this was for the Lord. It wasn't for him. And he then said that, you're spot on, he said, because I actually run a music studio out of my house for the street kids, helping them do hip-hop. And his heart was to encourage them and make a recording and sell it to encourage the kids. Wow. Sorry, this is it was an amazing time. So this is all hitting back on me as I'm speaking now. It's coming back again. Ministering to another guy there whose son had gone to get some cash from the ATM. Got out of the ATM, walked back to his car, got in the car. Another guy walked up, pointed a gun through the window and shot him dead and stole the cash. And his father, who I was speaking to at the time, just got to the son in the car when he died in his arms. So this is the area we're in. The church was full of all these and other stories. And I thought that what could we offer them other than ministry, eh? This was no ordinary church, but it was full of people with big pasts, ex-drug dealers, murderers, thieves, gang members, and more. But God used us to minister to them all, and it was very impacting and very humbling. You know, just to sort of sum it up a little bit, on the Sunday, we another service there, and we... what more came after, they just kept on coming after Pastor Paul brought his word. And I didn't think there was that many people in the church, to be quite honest, but praying and praying, it was supposed to be a morning session. It turned out to be an afternoon session as well. And I'm sure they had a trap door at the back there. They just kept opening up and letting more people come through, because I didn't see that many people when we got there. But look, as a takeout for you all, one of the things that was spoken there that really resonated with me, and I hope it resonates with you as well, is that when they came and the Pastor Marco came to take up his tithes and his offerings at the church, you've got to remember this church is not full of Rockefellers or anybody like that. They're pretty average, down and out. People are pretty much on poverty row. They come from countries where poverty is rife. And those that are working, I would say, are probably on just minimum wage. But what he'd said that resonated with me when he was taking up that tithe and offering was, he said, you all don't think twice. And I better just backtrack a second. You're talking about a country, United States. Everything that you do by purchase is a tip attached to it. And he said that you don't think twice when you go and eat your tacos of leaving a tip for the waiter. When you go and have your meal somewhere else, you tip that waitress that served you. When you get a taxi, you tip the driver. And the tips are generally between 15 and 20% now over there. He said, but you struggle when you come to the house of God to give him that provided you to be able to pay for that meal or get that taxi or whatever it is you purchased, you struggle to give 10%. He said, why is that? Now, we were told afterwards that they are a very giving church. But it just resonated so much with me that it is right. We do. We're happy, you know, we're not in a country, Australia, where tips are necessarily the done thing. But over there they are. So why is it that they can still come and give 10% back to the church and yet they can still go and give 20 and 15%, but we here struggle with that ourselves? So that's a takeout for you. Take it away, think about it. And I think that both Karen and myself, sorry she can't be here today. She does send her apologies. She's with Pastor Candace over in the Gold Coast there. It's myself. It's the most impacting and rewarding trip that we have actually done. And we've done a few whilst we've been in this church. So I encourage you all, if you are ever contemplating about going on a missions trip, don't put it off. Sign up, go and do it. You know, Proverbs 11:25 says that as a man waters, so himself will be watered. I'll leave you with it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, AD. Okay, so there was a theme running through our trip to the nations, and Dallas has that particular area of Dallas has been part of a historical move of God, and it's actually in the Guinness World Book of Records for the church with the street with the most churches on it, and that had sort of been in its heyday, and all those churches are gone now. There's only one left. What had once been Church Street is now taken over and no longer Church Street. So the theme through that was that God was inviting people to come and drink, to come back to the fountain of life, to come back to what he wanted for Dallas and who he wanted the church to be. And that theme carried over into Argentina. Argentina is a land of great revivals. In the 50s, there was a revival that changed the nation. And in the 90s, there was a revival that impacted the nations of the world that came out of Argentina. And really what was happening was there was a break of the hold of religion. Catholicism, for many, many people, had become a religious tradition, didn't really have any meaning or life-changing power. And God said, I'm going to visit this nation and I'm going to break the hold of religion. And he did that in a dramatic fashion. There were stadiums full of people praising and worshiping and praying and repenting. It was an amazing season to be a Christian in the 90s. But we're not in the 90s anymore. We're in 2018. And so what we found in Argentina is that there had been a gradual decline in the church, a gradual return to religion. There is terrible corruption in the government. There's an eroding middle class, and people are desperate again. We were impacted by seeing people just trying to make a living on the side of the road with barbecuing chickens on the side of the road and selling them on the side of the sides of the roads. There is a need for emerging apostolic leaders. We were privileged to meet one in Tucumán. And these are leaders who will be fathers, who will be leaders, who will carry spiritual authority to change the spiritual atmosphere. And we felt that was part of our assignment in going to Argentina. And so I'd like to invite Greg to share what the Lord showed him on the trip.
I was going to start off with some Spanish, but Paul is just too good at it, so I'll just... Buenos dias, iglesia, familia. Translated into English, it says, good morning, church family. Reading through my journal I had while I was away in Argentina, I realized how honored and blessed I am to have been able to get this opportunity to go on a mission trip literally to the other side of the world. Before going to Argentina, I was extremely nervous and apprehensive as to what to expect and if I was able to cope with the whole experience. I struggled with the thought or the whisper that I was not worthy enough to be going to Argentina. I worried about leaving my family back in Perth, worried if they would be okay, worried if I was capable of going on this trip at all. On the morning that I was leaving, I wrote in my journal, I leave my wife and two girls behind in Perth while I go on a mission trip to Argentina, feeling scared and unsure of what lies ahead. The prayer I said that day went something along the lines of, Lord, I pray you guide me and have your hand over me and my family while I'm away. Father, I pray the blood of Jesus covers my home and family, and that you have paved the way along the path and clean out all of the thoughts and feelings not of you. And that morning when I was thinking, you know, Lord, please, I need something. And all I got was Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7, and it reads, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Leaving Taryn and the girls was not as hard as I thought it would be. I felt a sense of peace and knew that I would not have to worry about anything because God was in control of the entire situation. Landing in Sydney, I looked around, and I don't know if anybody's been to Sydney International Airport. There are thousands of people in that departure. And I thought to myself, every single person in that departure lounge has a story to tell. And an even bigger realization was that they were a child of God and God loves them. That really made me excited. It really got me amped for what lay ahead for me in Argentina. Thinking about what I'd come to realize and that I was about to go to a foreign country to pray and be an ambassador for the kingdom of God, I was overwhelmed by the privilege of being given this opportunity. But as soon as I felt what an honor it is to be doing this, the voice started to whisper, "You should never have been asked to go to Argentina. You are not bold enough and don't have the ability to do it. You are not worthy." All of this before I'd even left Australia. But I kept saying, Lord, you are in control. And I have a verse that I keep close to me. And it says, God will never leave me nor forsake me. And I was ready for whatever he planned ahead of me in Argentina, having that verse with me there. After quite a long journey, it's literally on the other side of the world. I had four stopovers in three different countries. My mission began. I landed in Argentina that evening and went straight to a service where I met up with Pastor Paul. My first impression of Argentinian church was, wow, the music's loud. But the people's voices still overpowered the volume. They were very passionate and gave it their all during worship. After Pastor Paul's message, we held an altar call, and I was overwhelmed at the sight of all the children, young as 4 or 5 year olds, who came up for prayer on their own accord. Now, I think for me, that was a big thing, because I've got a 4 year old and a 6 year old, and it was just so special to see those little kids coming up and wanting to have prayer. And their parents weren't like shoving them up. They did it on their own, which was awesome. We had the privilege of praying for hundreds of people and felt the Holy Spirit's presence during this time. I feel the people of Argentina are ready for a revival there. We went to two cities. We went to Buenos Aires and Tucumán. I found that both were on fire for God and ready for what He had in store for them, but more so in Tucumán. I had the privilege of praying for Pastor Paul while he was preaching, and I got a word for one church and a vision for a second one, which we visited. The first church word was from Hebrews 8, verse 1, and it reads, "The point of what we are saying is this, we do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven." I felt that that word was a reminder to that church of the real reason why we go to church. It's not about glorifying the pastors or the church. It's all about having a relationship with God. Now, I must say that I have a bit of a fear of public speaking. However, I didn't have much time for this fear to get a hold of me, because just before Pastor Paul was about to stand up and give a sermon, he tapped me on the leg and said, "Right, you're up." He said, you've got a word to prophesy over this church. Let's go. So I got up. And then I realized that it was on TV. I still get nervous thinking about it now. But I took refuge in the knowledge that God will never leave me nor forsake me. At the second church, while praying, I saw angels in the back of the church with flags, and they were celebrating and rejoicing, and I truly believe that was for the revival that's going to be happening in Buenos Aires and Argentina as a whole. The Argentinian trip has really touched me in a way that I could never have imagined. I came back with a completely different look on life and appreciation for everyone around me, including my family at One Church Perth. After reflecting back on the word that I received in Hebrews 8, I realized that this is not just a word for that church, but it was a word for my life as well. Because I was always trying to please others before pleasing God. I used to take for granted the things that I have and expected everything that I wanted. And this was not for God's sake, it was for my own. And it was definitely not glorifying the kingdom. I was so wrong. The Lord showed me that I must not take for granted that which I have in my life, and I should be grateful for the people around me. We take for granted the pastors that we have in our church and the time and fellowship we can enjoy together. They truly love and care for us. Sorry. Thanks, lady. And they honestly do want the best for us. I would like to thank Pastor Paul and the team for allowing me to experience this amazing opportunity and give praise to God for the strength, courage, and boldness to step out in faith and do something which I thought I was never capable of nor worthy to do. I'd also like to thank you all for your prayers while we were away. The mission to Argentina has changed my life and given me great insight as to who I am and what I am capable of. With God being the center of my world and me not trying to do it on my own. God bless you, church. Thank you.
Fantastic. You know, so often we think we're going to go there and change somebody's life, but it's us who get changed the most. And so the theme continues with the move of God that God wants for America and for Dallas in particular and for Argentina, for Buenos Aires and for Tucumán. one of the scriptures that I want to repeat is from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19 to 20. It says, "Do not quench the Spirit and do not despise prophecy." Another way of saying it from the easy-to-read version says this, "Don't stop the work of the Holy Spirit. Don't treat prophecy like something that is not important." You know, this is something that really is a burden for me. You know, I grew up in church. I know what it is to go to church out of a religious pattern and habit. And I never want to do that again. I believe that we are doing this church, this particular church family, not because you all need somewhere to come on a Sunday, or you all need some kind of a church family to belong to. I believe we're doing it out of obedience to the prophetic word that God gave over this nation. He said that this is the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. He said that there'd be a move of God that would go from this part of the world to every nation. That's why I do church. I want to be part of that. And I've tried as best as I can to bring you all on that journey and to encourage you in that, and I'll keep doing that. And I believe that it is as much for this nation as it is for the nations of the world. Estelle, would you mind coming forward while I wrap this up? There's a slide, just the next slide, please, Aaron. This is who we are. We are, according to one of the first visionary explorers that God sent our way, we are Australia del Espíritu Santo. This being our Spanish flavored morning, that's very apt, very appropriate. We are the Southland of the Holy Spirit. That's what God named us. We call it Australia for short, Southland. But really, the full name we carry is the Southland, Australia of the Holy Spirit. And that is our identity. That is who God calls us as Australians to be. It doesn't matter what country you originally come from. Now that you're Australian, your new identity is that of being a man or a woman of the Holy Spirit. And so it is our job as the church to train you and equip you and enable you to be the best version of a man or woman of the Holy Spirit that you can be. And I believe that missions trips, the missions focus, missions giving is a very key part of helping you to be a man or woman of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to encourage you to pray about where you can get involved and where you can be part of this. I want to encourage you to keep giving your missions offerings, which we're going to take up before we finish today. I want to encourage you to keep asking God where you fit in. Is it Australia? Is it the nations? Where do you want to send me, God? And keep believing for the most radical life that you could ever possibly dream of. Keep believing for that. Don't settle for boring. Estelle had a word during worship, and I think it is an appropriate word for us to finish on. While Estelle comes up, can I ask the ushers to please get ready with the offering for missions, please?
Morning, church. While we were singing the last song about we need your presence, and please pour out more of your spirit, and we want to see your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I just had a sense that it's almost as if God is saying, huh? My word says where there's two or three, I am there. So we sometimes ask for things that we already have. So what we need to do is actually just step into the presence. We have the Spirit within us, and yes, we want more and better things and extra things from the Spirit, but we need to actually step into that presence that's already there. We need to realize that God is here, And that is why I have to live my life, as per the last couple of weeks' teachings, in purity, because that's the only way I can bring the kingdom of God to this world. If I start living as if I'm in heaven, then that will bring His will and His kingdom to this earth. If I can start walking in that presence that's already there and knowing that God is with me all the time, then I will bring the kingdom of God to this world.
Amen. Could we... Thank you. Thank you. Estelle, could we send the bags around now? Thank you. While the bags are going around, can we pray? Father, thank you that you said that the nations are our inheritance. They belong to Jesus, and Jesus gave them to us. And so thank you that we can ask you for a nation, and you'll give it to us. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that as we as a church begin to dream about how you could use us and where you could send us, I pray that you would put a burden on our hearts about different nations, about where it is you want us to be praying for and sowing into and going to. Lord, thank you that